When the website WikiLeaks released 90,000 classified documents about the war in Afghanistan, a recurring theme was the role of Pakistan. The documents allege that elements in Pakistan have been helping the insurgents in Afghanistan, including suicide bombers. The face of the war has been changing in recent years, with suicide bombers becoming a major tool in the Taliban's arsenal.
The U.S.-led international forces say they're taking the fight to the Taliban as never before. The Taliban, meanwhile, have been using suicide bombers to launch audacious attacks on some of the strongest coalition bases in the country. NPR's Quill Lawrence sent us this report.
Despite decades of war, suicide bombs are relatively new to Afghanistan, and the Afghan government has always tried to paint them as an alien force coming from outside. All week long, government officials in Kabul have been citing the leaked U.S. military documents as proof that Pakistan's intelligence service is facilitating the training and transport of bombers into Afghanistan. Presidential spokesman Waheed Omar.
Since 2006, when we started to have suicide bombings in Afghanistan and the terrorist activities started to escalate in Afghanistan, we have always told our international partners that we will not have a stable Afghanistan unless we pay attention to the places where terrorism is being nurtured, where they are given sanctuary, and where they are given ideological motives to carry out their attacks in Afghanistan.
This summer, the Taliban have employed a relatively new tactic, one that startled U.S. officials. Instead of sticking to the mountainous terrain that favors their guerrilla fighters, the insurgents launched several frontal assaults on heavily fortified targets. In May, a group of suicide bombers rushed the gates of Bagram Air Base, which is the size of a small city and home to tens of thousands of U.S. soldiers with artillery, helicopters, and jets. Only days later, they tried the same method to assault Kandahar Airfield, another sprawling fortress. In June, suicide bombers hit a base in Jalalabad. This month, they tried the tactic on police stations as well as a bunkered aid organization. The first attack in Bagram took everyone by surprise. It was here in the Shamali Plain, just north of Kabul, that a group of Taliban suicide bombers threw themselves at one of the largest, most fortified U.S. military bases in the country, Bagram Airfield. Trailer trucks shudder on their way to the base, passing Syed Khalid and Mahmoud Tahir's vegetable stand. The two young men say the attack in May also surprised them.
He said it was very surprising because we have so many Americans here, you know, and they came all the way here and carried out their operation. But he says that, you know, they can do it wherever they want. They did it at the airport, you know, so why can't they do it here? They're suicide bombers.
Are they brave or are they crazy?
In Mardamo, make a deliras and you're the one I mean, Toria.
Deliras. Deliras.
They're both brave and crazy, you know. Brave in the sense that they accept the fact to kill themselves. But crazy because, you know, they kill everybody who comes, you know, comes forward.
American officials characterize the attack's impact as about the same as flies on a windshield. But Khalid and Tahir say they think the Taliban attack was successful, simply by the fact that it lasted about 4 hours and showed that the insurgents can hit anywhere in the country. And that's the effect the Taliban are trying for, says Waheed Mozda, a former Taliban government minister who now lives in Kabul. He refers to General Stanley McChrystal, who was commander of U.S. forces here in May.
It was, propaganda-wise, it was a successful message and to show that they have the ability to get into a background base. And also, McChrystal was like searching the Taliban in Nuristan and those areas, chasing the Taliban, but the Taliban were attacking the background base.
And the Taliban have no shortage of suicide bombers to carry out these missions, Mozda says. They recruit from madrasas in Pakistan, where along with studying the Quran, pupils consume a heavy diet of violent video clips from Iraq and the Palestinian territories. Of 500 students in a given madrasa, Mozda says, perhaps 50 of the most emotional, most aggressive students are chosen for special training. Sometimes they're outfitted with what they think is a suicide vest, and the Taliban recruiter observes how well they follow their orders to carry out a mock bombing. About half of the 50 students might pass that test, says Mozda. The story is borne out by testimony of failed suicide bombers. In one of numerous videotaped depositions provided by Afghan security services, an 18-year-old named Saifullah tells the story of his travels from Helmand province in the south to Pakistan. He describes the decision to wage a war on foreign troops and become a suicide bomber as a Western teenager might describe picking up a job for the summer. 2 months ago, he met a recruiter who convinced him to train as a bomber. They traveled to Pakistan and then back to Afghanistan, where the Taliban transported Saifullah, blindfolded, through a series of safe houses. The last house in Kabul was raided by police before he could complete his mission. Kabul authorities point to their success at preventing bombers like Saifullah from disrupting last week's international donor conference. U.S. military officials say they are punishing the enemy like never before. Chairman of the Joint Chiefs, Admiral Mike Mullen, was in Kabul earlier this week.
A high tempo of Afghan and ISAF-targeted special operations continues, and those operations have killed, captured, or run off hundreds of Taliban leaders and rank and file. The enemy is feeling this pressure and clearly lashing out.
But the Taliban, says Wahid Mosdah, feel they can absorb the punishment and keep chipping away at the government and foreign troops here. It's the same strategy they remember using against the Soviet army. They called the Russians a great bear that could only be killed with 1,000 little cuts over many years.
Now in Afghanistan, this is the same strategy. They think time is in our benefit. We can defeat foreign troops by this way. The victory not just for Taliban, but for all Muslim world.
Both sides see themselves as holding the upper hand here in their own estimation. By the end of the summer's fighting season, it may be clear whose definition of victory pertains here in Afghanistan. Quill Lawrence, NPR News, Kabul.